Okay, I'll go through these instructions one more time and we'll go ahead and get started. Again, my name is Brian and I will be the moderator on today's call. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com. If you have any problems logging into the notes or problems hearing or anything like that, *4 will increase the volume on your line. If you are having any trouble hearing, the URL for the notes page is marketingexperimentsblog.com. And we will ask you to refresh that page as we add some data and other notes. The email address that you may want to jot down is questions@marketingexperiments.com. You can send to that address throughout the hour, and we will attempt to answer all of your questions near the end of the call this afternoon. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. Flint McLaughlin, who will be this afternoon's primary presenter.
Okay, gentlemen. Thank you, Brian, and for my team standing by. There's a number of key individuals that will be helping us. Jalali Hartman, who has been overseeing some of the research related to click fraud, is in Washington today and will not be on the line to my knowledge. Jalali, if you're able to make the call, please let me know, but I think that he's on route between Washington and New York. However, we have a number of our other key team members here and also some guests that may be able to help us as we proceed today. So we'll talk more about that as we go forward. The topic for this clinic is how difficult is it to detect click fraud on your own website, and it connects with a couple of key sub-questions which we'll be looking at, and then we'll get very granular and hopefully very practical, quantifying and qualifying certain steps you can take to protect yourself and your company against click fraud. We're kind of in the midst of a large study on this topic. We've already released one report. That report received, it was in Wired and Entrepreneur and a number of places. And we have been approached and asked to do a major study by some other groups regarding this. But in the meantime, we felt there was some relevant new information we had that was worth giving to you now before a complete study is done. Are there ways to combat click fraud when running pay-per-click campaigns now? Is it possible to minimize the chances of being targeted? And how can you find if you've already been paying for fraudulent clicks? Suspecting that we've been a victim of click fraud ourselves, we set out to answer some of these questions and share our own findings. In addition to documenting our own experiences, we spoke with other pay-per-click experts around the world and developed a 14-point plan, which we'll give you. Plan not only gives you the means to minimize the likelihood of your company becoming a victim of click fraud, but also provides instructions on identifying click fraud attacks as and when they occur. Of course, pay-per-click is it's an important and sometimes essential tool for many online marketers, and as awareness of click fraud grows, it is necessary to learn how to protect both the integrity and the ROI of your campaigns. In a previous report, we examined the problem of click fraud and found that as much as 30% of paid search engine traffic may be fraudulent. I have to use an excerpt from that now. If some of you were on that clinic and you may have received that data, this will be just a quick refresher for you. But I know from the registrations there are many, many new people on as well, and it would be important to just to take a brief look at this. This is an actual excerpt. South African search firm Incubator. .com has developed a click tracking tool that creates and measures a unique click ID for each click. The ID is actually, it's created based on a number of characteristics that they believe to be statistically significant. Working with them and some of our own tools here, we conducted an experiment. And essentially, there were two or three key points. And Brian, I'm going to have you drop all three of those bullet points into the notes. As Brian's dropping those notes in just a moment, hit the refresh button or F5, depending on which browser you're using, and you will see the new notes appear. All three campaigns ran over a 10-day period. And I'm talking, I see that you're dropping the table in, but I'm looking for the actual bullet point above the table, if you would. Duplicates were
there now. Sorry about that.
Okay. Duplicates were determined by comparing IP address, language, browser settings, referring URL, time of click, operating system, browser plugins, and country. Now, that list I'm giving you is appearing in your notes. If you refresh your page, you'll see it above the table that we just dropped into your notes as well. Campaign A was implemented for a finance company with a high end, that's $1 to $2 cost per click. Campaign B was for a travel company with a mid-range, 0.20, 20 cents to 30 cents in their cost per click. Campaign C was for a jobs company with a low 0.05 to 0.15 cost per click. That being the case, if you'll notice the table, it will lay out for you a summation of our results. The top category gives you the total clicks. Campaign A had 34,763. And if you'll go through that list, you'll notice the duplicate clicks and then the alleged click fraud for each campaign. If you study the table, you'll note some things very, very interesting. Obviously, the most important thing is that the random sample showed as much as, I'm not saying this was click fraud, but as much as 29.5% fraud. What is interesting is that the potential fraud increased as the bid price increased. We suspect that Google may be detecting only a small percentage of fraud. We're certainly not wanting to declare war on Google, and they were not happy about this particular study, but the data is what it is. And I carefully read their critique, and it was weak. The only points they made were the points we conceded when we laid out the study. I mean, this is not a comprehensive study, and we very well might find that these numbers are too high, and a comprehensive study is being designed and contemplated now. But moving on, I just want to point out that a key point here is data indicates that the potential for significant click fraud increased proportionally to the bid price. And in fact, click fraud may be a larger problem than the major online search engines admit. Until more information becomes available, pay-per-click advertisers will have to remain vigilant against the dangers of click fraud. Now, after we released this report, and earlier this month, Google agreed to settle a class action click fraud lawsuit for $90 million, approximately. So clearly, something is going on that puts Google in a position that wasn't defensible enough to prevent that significant payment, period. If it had been a $2 or $3 million suit, we might have chalked it up to, just the cost of litigation outweighing the potential losses to Google, if you look at the size of the claim, there was some serious risk here. Now, I'm not a legal expert. I'm not here to talk about the claim. I'm certainly not here to accuse Google of really anything. I'm just trying to do research and understand what's happening in the marketplace. And there are others who are beginning to produce information. The Click Fraud Network, and I think we have a representative from them on the phone. Finney, I don't have your bio in front of me. It hasn't seemed to come yet.
Yeah.
But we do have Vinny from the Click Fraud Network on the telephone. And this is a new launch. Their organization is working to try and protect retailers against click fraud. It's Click Forensics. And so, Vinny, you want to give me a – I don't have a commercial. We're not an affiliate of these people. I've only met them recently during this research, but we want to give you every possible way we can to help you, and it might be that Vinny's group can help you. So, Vinny, say hello to them. Give me a quick bit of information on your group, and then I'll mention this stat and move on.
Okay, sorry. So, hi, guys. Just to clarify something, our company is primarily a paid search marketing affiliate performance marketing business. We take on clients and we market as a performance marketer with target CPAs and cost of sales and that sort of thing. So the technology we've developed is really in-house to protect ourselves from click fraud. And over the past years, I mean, I've received as much as a $50,000 refund from one of the search engines over one weekend for excessive click fraud from bots and that sort of thing. So we have a lot of experience in this space. We don't sell any products around click fraud, and we participated in a study with with marketing experiments just to, you know, share some data. And obviously, subsequent to the click fraud was there, and you know, whether or not when we dug deep into the numbers, we saw certain areas where it's more prevalent. Like for example, Google's partners tended to have a lot more click fraud than Google.com in particular. So the numbers are skewed depending on which way you look at them. But as a whole, they're pretty much accurate because of the methodology we employ to do that. Yeah, I don't have much more background I can give at this stage.
Yes, yes. Well, that's excellent. I appreciate it, Vinny. And there's a group called the Click Fraud Network, and I don't know if Tom is on the line or not, Tom Charvet, but they're reporting a 16.4% of pay-per-click traffic at a high threat level, and at their site, clickfraudindex.com, which is part of a Click Forensic Troop. And so the net insight here is that there seems to be a reasonably significant amount of click fraud taking place on the internet. And if the numbers are anywhere close to the lowest number we're finding, if they're not 16%, not 30%, but even 10%, the impact of that on the ROI of a campaign is really significant. Which brings me to a case that I want to look at deeply with you here for just a moment. We wanted to ask the question, can you depend on the search engines to monitor and prevent click fraud in any one of these scenarios? And I'm going to share with you a case history from MEC. It's a deviation from our typical report format. Because click fraud often manifests in unexpected ways, we've decided to share the anecdote from our own experiences. It's part of this ongoing study. We thought it would be a useful example to other marketers who may find themselves in a similar situation. On a Friday afternoon, one of the sites we were running tests with experienced a huge traffic spike from Google AdWords. In a matter of hours, the Google pay-per-click campaign had incurred thousands of dollars in charges. And you can kind of see the results from that. If you'll refresh your notes page, you can see a table that represents what we were experiencing. And I'll give you a moment to do that. Refresh the page.
Sorry about that. The blog is a little bit slow this afternoon, but it should be there in just a few moments.
Okay. We're having servers running slow. All right. So any moment that should appear in your notes. Essentially, we saw click charges jump from $145 a day on the 25th to $409 a day on the 26th and $437 on the 27th, which was, 2.5 times. But on the 28th, it went to $1,544, and suddenly on the 29th, it jumped to $4,307. And that put us in a on a state of alert. And so the key is on the 29th of the month, there was a traffic spike costing the test site $4,307. And Jalali Hartman, who was working at that time with one of the, a Fortune 500 company in this series of tests, Jalali kind of wrote his story for us. And he would have been on the phone speaking, but he is in Washington right now attending to some urgent research matters that we have going on there. And so I'm going to go ahead and read his report written in his first person. I want to point out again that this is different than our typical format. Most of our research doesn't involve something this personal, and as an academic, it troubles me a bit to do so, but I think it's right. I think it's helpful to you, and so I'm just going to read his story in his own words. He says, "At first, I thought the traffic surge was great. I was working to advertise a paid subscription product where users could get a free trial in exchange for providing an email address. By all indications, the campaign was a huge success. I had started out testing Google to see if I could drive targeted traffic to the site, and it seemed that I could. I was spending a couple of $100 per day, but as well within my research budget. Hungry for more traffic, I decided to increase my bid to over $7 per click and activate Google's content network." Some of you are familiar with the associated risk with using that network. "I didn't think much of it. I was aware on business. I was away on business that afternoon and evening, but I could see all of the leads flowing in as I monitored my emails from my trail. Ironically, I had just completed a major study on click fraud and found that some campaigns as much as 30% invalid clicks. I logged into my Google account after returning from my business trip and gasped. The weekly spend had skyrocketed to $8,345. While this amount itself is not unbearable, it is quite substantial for anyone who's trying to create a positive ROI with a new pay-per-click campaign, and it significantly exceeded our test budget for this period of the campaign. I immediately shut down all advertising. I was concerned about how I would explain this budget aberration to our director of research, which is me. I didn't panic at first because I was sure that I would log into the next day and see all these click charges credited back to me. Because of my recent research, because of all the click fraud buzz in the media, I was sure I'd fallen victim to a click fraud scam and that the Google police would immediately notify me, apologize, and I'd go back to business as usual. I decided not to try to get to the bottom of this. I was determined not to pay for these clicks. So I compiled any data that I could. The first thing I did was look at the trend in my Google campaign. Now, we're going to drop two graphics into the blog, and these graphics compare exactly what Jalali saw, but essentially clicks with impressions. So I'll give you just a moment to refresh your notes page.
And Cliff, or Flint, I'm dropping in thumbnails so the people will actually have to click them to see the full graph.
Okay, he's putting thumbnails in, and you may need to click on those. All right. I'll just give you all just a moment. Okay. Now, I'm just scrolling down here. You should see both of these, and you can click on them to see a larger picture comparing both. The impressions and the clicks were in line with the charges that I was being billed for. This seemed to match up. Next, I decided to look at the leads I was getting during this time. I analyzed where the leads were coming from geographically. The site I was marketing sold a product that was targeted at U.S. and European investors, although theoretically anyone could use it. And so he looked at a map studying the location. And we're dropping into your notes that map also. And if you will look, it says leads by location, and you can click on that also to see a larger view, and you'll notice the map that he studied. At first glance, these leads seemed to make sense. Then I remembered that the orange dots represented a high concentration of leads. I saw one orange dot in Florida, and that was probably a result of my own testing. Then I saw orange dots in each of the major Indian technology cities. Each held millions of people, and most were lucky to make $2 per day doing hard labor. Coincidentally, he had just returned from a trip to India where he was working with our charity. We're involved with significant charitable work there in India. It put the $7 cost per click I was paying into perspective. So then I decided to see if the percentage of leads from India during this traffic spike was higher than usual. So now we're going to look at a table that he prepared in this effort. It should also be in your notes. And that table essentially represents a geographic study of the traffic. Brian, is that in the notes now?
It'll be just 2 seconds.
Good.
Okay.
Now, you should be able to, you know, do a clean refresh, by the way, if any of you are having cache problems. If on a lot of browsers, including Explorer and Mozilla's new browser, you can, you know, the Control F5 will get that clean for you. But if you'll look, you'll notice a new table in your notes. You'll see the spike versus average traffic comparison. And what immediately stands out to me is that 42% of all the leads were coming from India. Now, that isn't proof of click fraud. It's proof, number one, that the campaign was likely going to fail dramatically. And because we suspected and it bore out that these were not qualified leads. But it's remarkable that nearly a half of the traffic would come from these major technology centers in Asia. Jolly says, I found no real proof of fraud, but wait, why are 42% of my leads coming from India? I started to look at some of the email addresses, and almost all of them were Hotmail.com or Yahoo.com addresses. I compared these to leads from the U.S. Most of these latter leads were people's names at company domains, but still there was no proof. I decided to call Google. I spoke to someone there and told them my situation. They agreed that it sounded fishy and asked me to send them my data. I did so and felt confident that I'd be able to report back to the research director that the charges would be reversed. I waited and waited and waited. 2 weeks later, I got a forwarded email from the billing contact of the Google account in question. It was a short email explaining that they found no invalid clicks. That was it. There was no explanation, no data. They simply said it was not fraud. So we paid the bill. I had spent 276% of my monthly advertising budget in 3 days, and we're still awaiting further communication from Google. So the moral of the story is, I think, good intentions or not, you cannot depend on the search engines themselves to fend for you when it comes to this issue of click fraud, at least not at this point. I don't know how Google is going to respond to the recent legal activity, but I do find the succinct – in fact, let me just comment on this. Let's suppose Google's absolutely right. Let's suppose that this is not click fraud whatsoever. The question I have is why send out this simple note with no information, providing the consumer – and if we're the consumer – with no reasonable – explanation of what's happening. I'm aware that Google says they don't want to do that because they don't want to give someone who's engaged in click fraud any information that will help them. But that's a fairly anemic answer. There's certainly a way to respond in such a way to give us a comfort that we didn't just waste our money as a result of fraud. Frankly, by all accounts, it looks like something bad happened. And we got burned. Now, this isn't a diatribe because of what occurred. It was just coincidental that it occurred right after the other study and in between and in the midst of this major study. And the reason I added it all is because it echoes a number of similar anecdotes that I have heard from other merchants. Which brings me to a separate question and another small set of data, and that is, once again, if there is the possibility that the engines are not detecting click fraud and reimbursing us properly, what percentage of our fraud could, or what percentage of our traffic could be fraudulent or our clicks? So, in another small case study, as part of the larger study we're doing, we tracked the referring URLs to another test site for a 24-hour period. The only proactive form of promotion or advertising for this site was from Google AdWords. And this table, which you can go ahead and put in, Brian, ranks referring URLs, that's external web pages, that brought traffic to the site, and unknown signifies traffic from no external URL, such as when a user arrives at the site via a bookmark, an email link, or by typing the URL directly into the web browser. You'll notice in the table, these are the results that we acquired. You'll notice the unknown percentage at 79.81%. You'll notice the total of 215,502 and clicks from SEO, parking, and spam sites. What you need to know most of all is that 17.98% of total search traffic was from known sources of fraudulent activity. Now, that's a pretty significant number, and I think Tom is on the line. Tom is, again, I'll let you just mention briefly, as did Vinny, Tom, what your group is doing with Click Forensics and so on. But I wanted to get your comments on these two sets of data before I move on, Tom.
Thank you, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, great. Actually, that's some great analysis in terms of looking at the referring site. If it's actually coming from the search provider themselves, or if it's being farmed out to second, third, or affiliate sites, to a lot of sites that just simply don't produce productive traffic. And our results are showing very similar data. Our team, the Click Forensics team, recently started an initiative very similar to Vinny's that we offer a click fraud network, and this is a free service for advertisers to join, share their data with us, and we will provide free click fraud reports for up to 100,000 paid clicks per month. And the goal behind that is for us to aggregate this similar type of data, the data that you're seeing from clicks from India or China or all of these places where most of our goods and services just simply aren't marketed to, and find those affiliate sites, those IP addresses, and those computers around the world that have been compromised, and try to aggregate that data and really find power in numbers and come back to Google and Yahoo and some of the larger search providers and say, you know, simply this is the data. This is the brass tacks of what we're seeing, and it's just indisputable data. So we're hoping that our effort will be extremely successful. We've got hundreds of advertisers joining the network, and it's providing tremendous amounts of data, and we're hoping to share that with the rest of the advertisers in the world.
I want to stress again to the people that are on the line, this is not a the reason I have to say it is because people contact us and ask the question, and I just want to be clear again. This is not a commercial for Vinny or for Tom. We're not affiliates, and we don't have any relationship. We're just trying to get people on the line that can help you and that might contribute to the research we're all trying to do together. And so, Tom, I appreciate what you're trying to do. We're going to be watching as your program unfolds to see what it may be able to do to help our own readers around the world. And the same, Vinny, I think I've been very impressed with what Vinny did in terms of his methodology for trying to identify clicks. And we had a question come in. By the way, keep sending questions, because we'll either answer them on this phone call or we'll personally answer them for you. And we'll also direct questions to our blog where you can see answers and get more information. I got an email from a Jeremy Chrysler, who's the director of business development at ValidClick, during this call. And I think he's not essentially not wanting to be left out in this mix, but as he's pointed out in the email, asking for refunds is not a viable long-term solution. And so there's a group here, ValidClick, which is working towards a different solution, and you may want to check out what they're doing also as you're trying to figure out how to protect yourself.
Just to add to some of the things you said.
Yes.
You know, one of the things which I suppose, you know, gives us a bit of solace, I hate to say the word, but you know, we factor the click fraud into our calculations for our CPAs and our costs and, you know, our ROI. We basically work out that, well, we're not going to pay $10 anymore per click or $2 a click. Because there's a 10% click fraud, we're going to pay $180, and we factor in. So it's not a long-term solution, but it sort of gets us by, because effectively from our angle, if the networks don't deal with the click fraud, all that we do is we reduce the price. So it's sort of like, well, there's a dilution effect that occurs. So that's one of the ways we tackle it. The other big issue I've got with the search engines is that they don't use a big enough window to detect click fraud. They, from what I understand, and if anyone knows any better, please tell me, from what I've been told, it's a 24-hour window. So And typically, you know, I think the first three clicks from the same IP address they'll charge you for. So the moment it gets above three clicks, then they start looking at it. Each engine is a little slightly different. But the reality is, and Google stockholders are quite incented to click on their links. If someone goes in, if you've just bought Google stock and you every day go in and search 10 different merchants in 10 different industries and you just click, you're pushing money into their bottom line, which is going to result in your shares being a safer bet. This is exactly the same problem GoTo Overture had before Yahoo acquired them. After Yahoo acquired them, the click for on Overture dropped significantly purely because their revenue and profits didn't make a big enough dent on Yahoo's entire earnings because they were so diversified. So one of the issues I've got is, you know, are the shareholders of Google incented to click more than they should? And two, why are they only using a short period of time to analyze for click forward? If they open up the window and said, you know, we'll look over a 7-day, 14-day, 28-day period, they'd see certain patterns emerging. I'm pretty convinced they're not looking at those longer periods of data.
Well, I both you and Tom, feel free to jump in as I begin to talk about something practical for our listeners right now connected to what you've just said, and that is, okay, what can we do? And I think there's a lot of us here that are looking for practical ways to protect ourselves. I'm going to move through a list of things that might be able to help you. Again, Vinny helped compile some key points. Tom sent over some key points, and we've edited and thought through, and we're going to just work to try and give you some answers on the phone. This may be the most useful part of this call because, you know, knowing that the problem is out there is only good from the standpoint of information. Right now you need something actionable. And so in practice, we'll look at some key things you can do. Brian will start just dropping these in your notes. So refresh them from time to time. As I lay out a point, it'll appear in your notes, and we'll move through it together as you can just kind of begin to get this. We'll also be sending the audio report, or, you know, a link will be available. You can pass that on to someone else. And the free journal report with this full issue here. I'm holding the rough draft of it in my hand right now, and it's pretty comprehensive. And the other thing that I think a lot of our listeners and readers miss out is that at the end of every one of our reports is a list of related MEC articles, but most importantly, and a much longer list of sources. We have a literature review that we conduct prior to this research, and I'm looking at two pages, essentially, one link after another with critical information on click fraud, and we've rated it in terms of its usefulness in a very subjective rating system, but it is rated so as to help save your time. So you'll get, you know, you're hearing now, you'll get information in this blog, but you're going to want to get the full report and the literature review and all that comes with that for your long-term notes. Let me just pull into my key points and we'll continue. All right? Here's the first step, or the first tip, more or less. Watch the daily volume of clicks on your main keywords. If they fall outside the statistical average, then investigate. A sudden drop in conversion may also indicate a problem. We saw a problem like this years ago with Deal Time before, you know, when it was Deal Time, before they became shopping.com. When we were monitoring a whole group of campaigns across a whole group of research projects, and we noticed on the same day and the same time, all of them had an enormous spike in traffic, an enormous drop in conversion. And it was very interesting. We watched how they handled it, and I won't go into what occurred, but it appears as though they picked up a partner at that point who was driving lots of unqualified traffic, which is a problem with a lot of the smaller pay-per-click engines. So watch that carefully. Number two, be very conservative with content-targeted ads placed on third-party websites. These website owners are incentivized to click or may recruit others to click the links on their sites. This is the majority of international fraud that you find, where many companies have set up shop employing low-cost labor to click on various websites that they own. That's a dangerous issue, and I'll tell you something else. There's another, and it may be in these steps, I may be coming to it, but there are gray areas of click fraud that we've been researching and that really are missing attention right now in the media, but they deserve attention. There are ways that this the network can disguise a Google link so as to make it look as though we're part of an interesting site's navigation, and more or less dramatically increase the number of people who accidentally click on it. And that in itself can add up to losses. Number three, only target the geographical regions where you do business. Don't waste clicks and impressions on countries you do not serve. Vinny or Tom, do you want to add any of that? Any one of these 3 points I've just given?
Absolutely. You bring up some great methods to look for click fraud. In addition to looking at your paid conversions, you may also want to keep an eye on just your free search conversion, so your organic listing conversion rate, and see what that ratio between paid versus organic is, and look for any deviations or any sudden dramatic changes between those two conversion rates. And as you had mentioned, always look for the country of origin. What countries are your clicks coming from? If you're seeing clicks coming from China or Egypt or India or any place where you're not likely to do much business, certainly that's not a valid click. So all three very good points.
Number 11, your comment is actually number 11 in our notes as well, and I may restate that point regarding the organic conversion rates as well. But I think it's valid and it's critical and it's overlooked, and it was suggested by your group, I believe. Number four, if you have a select group of keywords that drive most of your traffic, try increasing your keyword base with more specific and relevant terms. The larger your keyword base, the less susceptible you are to click fraud in general. It's very important.
Sorry, just interrupt you there for a second. That's probably one of the biggest reasons why our company, we don't get hit by as much click fraud as the market. We've got 20 million keywords we're bidding on at any point in time, 20 million, and less than 2% get more than 25 clicks a day.
Right.
So if you can't find our keywords, you can't click fraud us. So we go very deep into the search tail.
Yes. Well, that's an excellent point, and it's critical for all of us to know. And I want to just, before I move on to point five, as the questions are coming in, I have another question here that says, and I think it's really valid, and it says, there seems to be at least a couple of definitions of click fraud from clicks with no intention. This is from Cindy. And no intention of buying clicks just to raise pay-per-click spend. And despite budgets, how do you define click fraud? And I want to point out for you that we're actually working on an entire report that will begin with, as part of the experiment we're doing right now, to define click fraud in a new way, because there's no perspicuous clarity. There's no Wittgensteinian clarity about what the term means in the way the media is carelessly throwing it around. And from a research perspective, if you're doing a solid academic study here, we need to begin by getting our terminology right. And we'll answer more of that in the future. I think we want to expand the definition of click fraud, and that's why I defer answering it now. I want my data to back up what I say when I begin to give you a complete answer. And so, Vinny, I'm going on to point five. Review your server logs and use applications like Keyword Max, Urchin, ClickTrax, or companies like ClickDefense to assist in monitoring your click fraud levels. And six, click fraud from non-contextual search engine traffic is very low, as no one except your competitors have an incentive to click your links. Competitors can only incur one charge in a given period, as search engines do not typically bill for multiple clicks from the same source. Contextual traffic is the highest risk of click fraud.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think anyone doubts that at all. It's just, enough said.
Vinny's group provided most of these key points to us in collaboration with Nick Usborn and some of the other guys that are working. And then Tom, we're going to get to some things that Tom's added here in just a moment also, but let me go on. Number seven, review IP addresses and IP ranges in your server logs over a given period of time, such as 7 days. This will show you if many duplicate IP addresses come up, and you can report this to the search engines for investigation. The more information you give them, the more they can help you. Number 8, if fraudulent or unproductive activity occurs primarily during a certain time of the day, then pause the campaigns for those hours. Number 9, don't buy pay-per-click traffic on unknown search engines. These will often allow bots and other suspicious activity in without a high level of click fraud filtering. These small companies may be hungry for revenue and more hesitant about eliminating potential fraud. Spend your money with Yahoo, Google, Ask Jeeves, and MSN until you've really tapped out your search budget. Then go for lower volume but still high-quality second-tier engines, perhaps, like LookSmart. I don't know in particular, well, let me go on. Number 10, avoid bidding high for position or branding. Use the tracking codes provided by the search engines or an alternative solution to understand your traffic behavior and your conversion data. Don't simply compete. And a lot, some of what we're talking about now is a big part of the AdWords, the major research project we released on AdWords, where we analyzed what position it's smart to be in, not just based on cost, but on psychology. But don't simply bid to be number one. Bid for the position at which the ROI is positive. Many times the perception of click fraud is simply a result of marketers assuming that the top position must convert well, when it may produce nothing but unqualified traffic. One of the leading experts in the world on pay-per-click is a senior analyst here named Aaron Rosenthal. And I have seen Aaron over and over again take a campaign and reduce costs and yet increase traffic. It's interesting. There seems to be a cycle in pay-per-click where you can actually scale beyond a certain level of profitability, and that's not necessarily reflected just in the difference in your bids. And we're doing a study. We're just kind of – I say doing a study. I think that's too aggressive. We're kind of planning a study where we can look at the convergence between those two numbers. Now, Tom, I mentioned on the phone, Tom added in reviewing some of this information that we sent in advance of this call that in addition to monitoring your paid conversions, you should monitor your organic convert rates. And a sudden deviation in the ratio between these two conversion rates may indicate click fraud. And number 12, check your paid traffic for unusual activity in areas outside of your geo-targets. Specifically, look for traffic from foreign countries that are unlikely to be interested in your products or services, much like Jalali did in our earlier case history. Yeah, Vinny or Tom, you have anything to add to those 2 points? Or anybody from my staff, feel free to jump in. Okay. Number 13. The Click Fraud Network has identified that China, Egypt, and South Africa have generated the greatest volume of high-threat-level traffic. You may want to be particularly careful with those countries. And then number 14, high traffic, expensive keywords are the most obvious targets for those involved in creating fraudulent clicks. Make their job harder by leveraging keywords that aren't as inflated.
Can I just jump
please.
In? Sorry, Fred.
Yeah, please.
The South African click fraud phenomenon, it typically only occurs, from my experience, in the casino and gambling industry online in paid search, just particularly because South Africa's got about a 50% market share of the online gaming market, which is a very, very competitive industry. So most of ClickFraud, there's something like 1,200 online casinos in South Africa that have set up operation, and they operate throughout the world, and they've got licenses through the British government, that sort of thing. So the ClickFraud from South Africa, for whatever we've seen, is typically been in the gaming sector, and it's very isolated to that area only. There's only 4 million users in South Africa online since the internet, so the penetration is very low. It tends to be focused on that sector. I'm not sure whether you guys have seen the same thing.
Yeah, I think that pattern is reflective of everything that I understand. I don't know what Tom is experiencing. I think that one of the things that we find is that it may be that apart from these very intentional efforts in on the international marketplace, there's a lot of U.S. merchants that are engaging in a different version of click fraud that basically guarantees as many clicks as possible, though they be unqualified, guarantees as many clicks as possible on links that they are basically redesigning on specially prepared web pages. I think there's a real danger there. And I think it's something that Google could easily correct. But to date, they have not done so. And I'm talking about pages that are displaying on, you know, on Google's larger network. Have you guys done any studies related to that?
Yes, actually we have. Part of what our goal is in aggregating traffic across multiple advertisers is to look for trends across advertisers. I'm probably getting ahead of myself a little bit here. But that goes exactly to that point in terms of monitoring traffic from visitors that or compromised systems or areas of the world that we see trends in across multiple advertisers, and specifically what we're focusing in on is specific verticals and industries. As Vinny had mentioned, South Africa is 50% of the casino market, so that's great information to know, and that's the kind of information that we're trying to kind of put all together in a study so that we can look at it as a whole and look at it in an educated way and kind of understand what the root of click fraud is and where that's occurring.
Yes. Yes. Well, there's a number of questions coming in as well, and we've received a question from Jeff Fioretto. Jeff, I may not pronounce your name properly, but I will tell you that we're going to answer that in more detail in a personal note to you. I'll just let you know that. Steve wrote in, what's the point? If the engines won't refund your money, why even take the time to send off reports to them? I think the more data you have, the higher likelihood you have, Steve, of getting a refund, and there are certainly many cases where refunds are given. In the recent book on Google, which I wish I had in front of me, was written, and I think it was a bit of a, you know, as an academic, it was the author seemed a bit too much of a fan, but in terms of the objectivity of his book, but there's a major book just released on Google, and even he notes that Yahoo seems to be quicker, you know, to offer a refund than Google is right now. Now that's an accusation. Certainly, that's not documented by any data I have. But it was part of his interviews in the process as he studied click fraud and the issue it was becoming for Google. So some engines may be more reticent to provide refunds than others, but Google does issue refunds. And, you know, I think it's worthwhile to do all that you can. I want to know if I'm being defrauded. So I want to be able to do two things. I want to prevent it, and if there's any way possible to get a remedy for it, I'd like to do that also. Some of the questions that are coming in, we'll answer in the actual blog itself. Tom's company for a question that came in. Tom's company, I guess you would want to go to what? Click Forensics, Tom?
Actually, to join the network, you would go to jointhenetwork.com, and it's a very simple to do, easy process. You apply the page tag to your site, and it's kind of a collaborative effort between the advertisers. It's kind of a place for all of us to get together.
Okay. All right, and I think we've covered the primary content. Nick, you've been on the line and you've been quiet. Do you have anything to add to this before we close out, Nick Osborne?
No, I've been quiet because Tom and everyone else seems to know a lot more about this, and Vinny seems to know a lot more about this than I do.
Sure.
I can't speak for myself. I think it's enormously useful, the information that everyone's been sharing. And if everyone looked at their, I think just by following these 40 points, people can cut click fraud they may be suffering down to very minimal levels.
Yes. Well, and I want to point this out. I've said it. I'd like to close by reminding you of this. This is not a complete academic study. We've offered you one case study and one anecdote / case study, and then, of course, a lot of information on how to prevent and protect and gather some experts together. The full research project needs to have a much wider scope and scale, and shall and will and is. But that's it doesn't seem productive to make you wait for this multi-month long-term study itself, when in reality you probably need as much help as you can get right now, and that's our goal, to help you discover what works. So all things being equal, I want to thank you for attending. We appreciate your trust. If you find the information useful, tell somebody about our site. Everything on it is free, and all the reports and data is free. We are getting ready to conduct the certification in testing, and you may want to find out more about that. We certainly appreciate anyone's interest in that. That's one of the ways that we help underwrite all of this cost of experimentation. But in any event, we are grateful for your trust, and I'll close this out today. Thank you. Tom, thank you very much, and Vinny, also thank you. I appreciate my team showing up, and we'll be back again in a couple of weeks with more data and more reports.